Greetings. I am Shisada Akona Kamara, and welcome to Satsang with the Shambhala Center. You are beginningless. You are endless. You are divine.
Good evening, our beloved BBS listeners. This is Shisada Kona Kamada. Welcome to Satsang with the Shambhala Center. We're so pleased to have you with us tonight. PLAN, of course, is with me, and we're ready for a beautiful show. So let's go ahead, get ourselves centered. Call yourself forward, take a nice deep breath, and we will clear the space. Mother, Father, God, that I am, through the Great Central Sun Hierarchy, through the Office of the Christ, through the Order of Melchizedek, I call upon Archangel Michael to bring the sapphire blue ray. Cut away, cut away, cut away anything in all of our four lower vehicles not emanating directly from our I Am presence. I now call on Archangel Zachiel, Keeper of the Violet Flame. Blaze, blaze, blaze the violet flame through all of our four lower bodies. Transmute, transmute, transmute all the psychic debris Michael has cut free. I now bring forth the invincible ring pass knot and the mirror blue light of invisibility to completely surround each of us. And I call forth a shaft of pure Christ light, one shaft to surround each one of us. And I ask that these tubes of light be brought to the center of the earth, where I call on Archangel Gabriel to seal them. And I ask that the legions of Michael completely surround each tube of light. And now I ask that our vibrations be raised high above the psychic and astral worlds to the highest realm of illumined truth we each can attain at this time. And now, Mother, Father, God, we place ourselves in service to you and to humanity. PLAN and I place ourselves in service to you that listen. We ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted into our perceptions, and that all else of the lower mind be kept out. And we ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted through us. And because we have asked this, we consider it so. So be it. All right, lovely. Come on back to me. There's so much to cover in such a short time. And we are going to, I'll give you a heads up tonight, we're going to do a little longer meditation at the end because I'm going to do something specific with it tonight. So there's a lot to get to. Okay. I think I'm ready now. I have like a jumble of notes. So we'll just see where it goes. One never knows. Okay. What do I want to say first? There's so much going on. There's so much going on. Here's the first thing that I really want to address. I have an understanding, and for those of you who do already know me, you will know that my understandings aren't coming from something I read someplace or something I heard somebody, another spiritual teacher, say. They're coming from within, and I'm quiet about what I experience, and then I always kind of look in the outside world, and I always get confirmation someplace. It'll just come to me, and that's how I know that I'm accurate in what I'm seeing. So I know I'm accurate in this. If you're listening right now and you are struggling, really, really struggling, whether it be in your physical circumstances, maybe it's monetary, maybe it's actually your physical body that's, you're having injury problems or just medical issues. If you're feeling emotionally beaten up, mentally fatigued, if you're really struggling on any one of these levels to the point where it really feels like enough is enough already, then I am speaking directly to you. I'm guessing it's going to be the majority of people listening tonight, because you wouldn't be listening if you weren't in that group of people, unless it's by default, you know, some woman out there is making her husband listen. Oh, okay. So I am speaking to you. Have an understanding here. We came here to be of service, all right? We came here from non-fallen, non-polarized worlds to be of service to those who had fallen in consciousness and had lost their way back home, so to speak. In order for this to happen, in order for humanity to be lifted, okay? I mean, this is a monumental undertaking. You have to understand this has never been tried in any world ever, okay? When humanity fell in any space or time and was not capable of lifting themselves back into their divine state of non-polarization, that humanity was allowed to go through the second death. And I've talked about that, so I don't need to, you know, elaborate. The understanding that I need you to have is that this has never been tried before. This is like a unique thing that we're all moving through. That's why so many people wanted to come here to help. I mean, this is a really big deal. And what you also don't understand, unless you have the understanding, is that this is like an enormous level of service. So if you look at the state, you're built out of rays of light, right? And each ray of light has its own unique aspect to it. And you have, as divine essence that is individuated, you have the capacity to kind of choose your own path, right? Where are you going to, which rays of light and those aspects do you feel that you really want to grow and you really want to move into and evolve in, right? And that's why you're so unique, because nobody, you know, ever created could even be the same. It just can't happen. So like that, what the thing is that the growth potential in moving through this level of work in a polarized reality is exponentially greater than moving through it outside of it. You understand? So the evolutionary process outside of this absolutely occurs. Don't get me wrong, because you're evolving all the time. But the ability here to launch yourself into a whole new level of life, right, is exactly what this experience is all about. And that's why, you know, it's like this added bonus to, yes, we're here to be in service, right? It's selfless and it's out of deep love and deep compassion. But at the same time, at the end of it all, when we experience the victory that we've already achieved, remember, we've come back in time to do this. So, you know, we're already victorious. But when we actually move into the awareness of the experience again, we will literally be kind of catapulted in our own journeys, okay, through this work. So understand that humanity is not going to lift itself. It can't. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's never happened before, okay? So if it's never happened before, why would we run under an assumption that it's going to happen this time without assistance? And that's the beautiful thing of what's happening on this planet at this time, is that divine compensations were given so that those coming from a non-polarized state could come into this system, knowing that you would, you know, that those veils would be dropped and you would forget who you were. But the mission is in place, right? And so within the mission, you knew that you would come back through, you know, you'd have to kind of move through hell, so to speak, to get to it. But you knew that ultimately, you know, that divinity that is you would guide you to the places that you needed to be guided to in order to end up waking up enough that you could then walk yourself back out. So here's the thing. You have teachers who have been on this planet, I mean, for, well, millions of years, But especially if we look at the last, 50, 60 or whatever, those teachers, for those of you who have been paying attention, are starting to and have started to transition out. All right. Major, major, major spiritual teachers who have had huge impacts. Sai Baba would be the biggest that I could, think of, which was almost a couple years now, or it was a couple years, Easter. Jose Arguelles was another major spiritual teacher that passed. And there have been many, and there will continue to be many, who are going to transition out and return home in the not too distant future, because their work is done, or just about done. They were here to be that kind of first wave that really pushed, so that those of us who then were going to kind of carry that torch could get that get where we needed to be because of their service. And now they can go, right? And they can actually be of more service outside of here than they can be here in physicality. Okay, at a certain point, you've kind of rendered what you can do here, and then it's time to move on. So guess what, people? Guess who the next wave is? Hello, I'm speaking to you. Okay, you are the next wave. What happens if it's time for all of these incredible souls to transition out and you're not ready? Right? What happens? So if you're not ready, you're getting a sign right now that you're not ready, and you're getting it by experiencing the challenges that you're experiencing. The timing of it is perfect, because you have to be ready. Because what happens is this next huge wave of us who are here to literally hold that space, right? And be the beacons for people who will be completely lost. Our job is enormous. And it will happen, because we're getting hit the hardest right now, all right? If you feel like you aren't getting hit yet, maybe it's time to start looking and see if there's stuff running under the radar that you haven't been quite aware of, or that you've been repressing. But this is what's going on, because there is going to come a day. Remember, in this polarized reality, everything has to be held in balance. That's going to hold until the very last moment. Right? As the light grows, what else is going to happen? The negative aspects are going to grow in proportion to the light. Do you understand that? I hope you understand that. Okay? It has to be held in balance. That's how everything functions here. Okay? You don't change the program. You transcend the program. You don't change it. Okay? So we're in it until we're not. I hope you understand this. Will there be more people dying because they just aren't capable at this time to transcend? Absolutely. Will there be more stuff happening on the planet as far as environmental stuff and earth changes and all of that? Absolutely. I mean, you would be remiss to say, no, that's not going to happen, because, the light is going to succeed and it won't have to happen. I don't think that's a very accurate way to look at it. I think there would be a level of denial sitting there if we are going to look at it that way. Because let's face it, humanity that had fallen, due to their level of love, I mean, you can't forget that piece, because that is the crucial piece. They fell because they loved and because they were of service. But humanity that has fallen, what's it going to take for people who are so completely lost to their divine nature? They are completely rooted in their lower chakras, have no concept of anything outside of it. What's it going to take to wake them up? I mean, let's look. World religion's been trying like heck for a really long time. Has it worked? For some. But for the majority, no. Not at all. It's actually become another thing to just increase polarization for most people. So it's going to take people being brought to their knees to give them the opportunity to actually fully wake up, right? So some of us have already had that experience, right? Some of us walked that path already. Others are in the middle of it. And for others of you, it's probably not too far around the corner. But it takes a huge level of surrender to transcend a reality that is so convoluted, and it's you know, the mind is layered. It's like, you know, like Shrek, you know, ogres are like onions. It's like that, you know, the mind is like this enormous onion, and it's just layer after layer after layer after layer. And you get through one and you think you've succeeded. Well, guess what? They just keep going, and they just keep going, more and more subtle. The deeper you go, more and more subtle, right? And the path gets steeper, and the path gets narrower. It's not easy to transcend this reality. If you think it is, you are sorely mistaken. If you think you are going to love and light your way to ascension, you are wrong. And I hate to be the you know, sound like a curmudgeon here, but that's the reality of it. If that was the case, you know, a good chunk of humanity would have ascended already. Why would we even be here? We wouldn't need to be here if it was that easy. But there are millions of us who are here because we have a really specific role to play, whatever that role may be. Maybe you're an energy worker. Maybe you're a teacher or a guide like I am. Maybe you just have to be in the middle of something like a banking system to hold a level of light there that is experienced by everybody there. Because don't forget, people who hold large quantities of light, you know, that light extends. It can extend for miles, touching everybody in its path. So don't get hung up on what the mission is or the importance of the mission. It's all important. Everything is equally important. And there is not one piece that is any more important than the other. But it's all crucial. So I really want to address all of you tonight that if you're hurting right now, this is your gift, because this is your time. It is your time. Time to wake up to the Christ that is right there, right now, that you just haven't been aware of. So use it. You know, whatever the challenges are right now, use it. If you have found yourself experiencing the same challenges over and over again, let's say you lost a job, really struggled, got a job back, lost a job again, really struggled, got a job back, lost a job again, you're not paying attention. Because the universe is only bringing it to you because you haven't gone inward to find what it is, to transmute that so that you don't have to experience it in the outside world. This is really important. It's not easy to hear, and I understand that. And don't forget, I have walked this path. I know what it is to sit on the side you're all sitting on. And I know how hard it can be to have someone say to you, it's because you're not paying attention. And you're like, but I am, but I'm doing everything I can. And then someone says, you know what? You're lying to yourself. And that can hurt. But you have to understand that what's being brought to you is being brought to you from an incredible sense of love. Because the most important thing, people, is that you wake up. There is nothing more important than that. I'm not concerned about stroking your ego. I'm not concerned about making you feel good. There's a time and a place for that, and I'll do it when it's necessary, because the ego is very sensitive, some for some more than others. And, you know, it's kind of an art form knowing how to deal with the ego across from you. But it's not my job to make you feel more comfortable here in polarization. By God, I hope you do feel uncomfortable, because it's hell here. In case you haven't noticed, if there is a hell, you're sitting in it right now. Even as good as your life might be going, you're still sitting in it. Because underneath what feels like it's very smooth and all that are deep inadequacies. There's huge amounts of shame, huge amounts of guilt. They're all sitting there, festering under the surface, hiding themselves from your awareness. But don't be kidded into thinking they aren't sitting there, because they are. Until they've been seen, right? And until you've gone in and uncovered it, unrooted it, Running from it will not save you. And that's what I'm seeing so much in people right now, because the fear is there. Of course the fear is there. You're looking at the ego, which is singular. It's not yours. There's only one. But you see it everywhere you look. And it's scared right now. Because there are those of us out there looking at it from a different place. And it knows, right? And I love it when I sit with someone. I'm not looking at the person that they think they are. I'm looking at an ego. And it's like, I see you. And that's exactly the experience of it. There's God looking at ego. And there's a conversation that's going back and forth and back and forth. And God is presenting truth. And the ego's fighting it. And the ego's scared. And so it will do everything in its power to try to dismiss the truth that it's seeing, to try to deny it, to repress it, to run away from it, to bury your head in the sand and pretend it doesn't even exist, to even do what you can to discredit the voice of truth. People out there who want to discredit a person like me, that's fine. I could care less. I could care less. My work speaks for itself. But that's all it comes from. It's not personal, please. There's nothing personal going on here anyway. But when it comes, I can see exactly what's happening. If I have someone who says something to me and it's highly critical, right? I know where that's coming from, right? That's not who they are. Of course it's not. Give me a break. So where do you engage from? Well, I'm not going to engage from that. That's ridiculous. Show the person who they are. You know, let's lead you back to your starting point and your ending point. It's the same because there's really neither one. And that's the purpose of this program. You know, the work we're entering into is very difficult because you're looking at, you know, in case you don't have the awareness of this, people would sit in caves for lifetimes and then die and come back and sit in caves again for lifetimes, right? Over and over. And I laugh with PLM because she and I sat in caves together. So you have to understand that even that, when you sit in a cave for, you know, 30, 40, 50 years, basically, in meditation, even at that level of shutting everything in the world out, you still came back here. You still came back. Don't think it's easy. It is not easy. It is the hardest, hardest work you've ever attempted. It takes lifetimes. Pat yourselves on the back, because the you that has been you all this time has done this work. It's brought you to where you are now. It's brought you to me. It's brought you to another level of truth that you obviously are ready to hear, or you wouldn't be listening. So don't be down on yourselves that life sucks and everything is so hard. It's your gift. It's your gift. It's your gift. See it that way. If you've had everything taken away from you, hey, fantastic. It's one less thing you got to worry about. Be here now, right? It's your opportunity to be like fully present. You've got nothing else tugging at you. It's time to take the focus on the world and shift it to the focus on your work, your real work. Now, I'm not telling you to stop living your life. Obviously, I have to say these things because some people would be like, I'm supposed to like just stop everything and just process all the time. Like, that's not what I'm saying. It's not what I'm saying. I hope you're hearing me tonight. I really do. I really do. Here's another level of what you need to understand. Remember, I said to you, the path is becoming steeper and more narrow. Okay. Whether you're intending for it to be or not, some of us, you know, actually wanted that to happen. We were, you know, running like heck up that mountain. We got special shoes and everything. Others could care less about the path, but it's going to happen to them too. Okay. It's going to happen to everyone. It has to. It has to. It's the only way home. So for those of us who, you know, have really gone in and done, you know, deep levels of inquiry, it's a little easier right now than people who have shut that out completely. Because what has to happen is now the universe has to bring it to you physically. So if you're experiencing difficulties right now in your material world, okay, just understand it's happening because it has to. It's not punishment, people. This is not punishment. This is your gift. This is your opportunity. It is the universe. It is God itself saying, wake up. You know, we gave you opportunities. You know, it was so-and-so yelling at you. It was, you know, this person ripping you off. It was this, it was all these little things. And you had an opportunity every time to go in, right? And to find out what aspect of your own consciousness you've been shutting out. But you didn't do it. You chose to see them as separate. You chose to judge them, to justify your actions against them. And because you've done that over and over and over, now we have to bring it to you in a way that you cannot deny it. It will bring you to your knees. I mean, I remember Tona saying to me on a couple different occasions, you know, that this work will bring you to your knees. And I went through an experience a couple years ago where I really thought I got it. I was like, because that's exactly how I felt. Literally on my knees in tears. Went through it a couple times a couple years ago. And only a couple months ago moved it into an even deeper level of that, right? The only way we transcend this reality is to release all attachment, right? You think you've struggled so far, right? Wait until you come into the moment where you literally have to let go of everything you've held dear. Everything. And be ready to walk away from it all. Does that mean you have to? No, that's not the point. That's not the point. But I will tell you, if you come to that space and it's time to make that choice, and you make that choice from your ego, from a selfish place, something most likely will be taken from you. Do you understand? Because it has to. It's not punishment. It's because it has to. Because the key thing right now, and I have been preaching this to everybody that I talk to, the key thing right now is, where are you making your choices from? I spoke to my husband about this last night, and he asked me a really good question. He said, does that hold true for people who, you know, kind of aren't even doing spiritual work? And I was like, absolutely. It's everybody. No one's going to escape it. You didn't have a choice to come into the experience of patterning. You were born into that. All right? So you didn't have a choice that you would function from that state of consciousness from the time of birth through now. However, you do have a choice of what you're going to do with it from here forward, don't you? And it is the choices you make in every moment that determine what's coming the next moment. And understand this, understand it very clearly. If you're making a choice right now based on a past experience, based on what you think you learned back then, right? You know, I got shafted by a guy 5 years ago, and ever since then, like, I don't trust people, right? So now something happens, something comes at me right now, and the image of that thing happening back then comes in, and it's not even related, but I'm going to look at the image, and I'm going to trust that image, and I'm going to function from that place. So I'm going to withhold my love from the person who's coming at me right now and not even give it an opportunity to be what it could be, because I'm going to live in my past. And that's what everybody's doing. You are living your past. How do you break it? Get present. Get present. Listen to your knowing. Listen to your heart. Your heart can't lie to you. Now, be very careful here, because the mind can play a pretty convincing role as the heart. That's the whole love and light thing, where we think we're all in our hearts and we're actually running around scared to death. And it's, you know, does a good job of tricking people. Remember, in the moment, the heart might make a decision that looks to be, you know, anything but self-serving. The heart might make a decision that looks like it's actually going to work against you. Imagine that. But the heart knows. How do you be in your heart? It's very simple. Be present. Be present. How do you get present? Pretty simple. Use your senses. You got 5 senses. Use them. And in a moment when you recognize an image coming in, you see a picture, you have an experience of memory of something, you're sitting and talking with a person and then they say something and it reminds you of something that happened with them before and, you know, it hurt you. And in that moment, where are you going to function from? There is no linear time, people. It's created by the mind. So those images that come in that you have convinced yourself are your memory of things that happened back then is mind's way of trying to convince you of a story that doesn't exist. And so if you believe the image, now you're going to function from your past because you're already believing in it. So you believe that there's a past and there's going to be a future, and so you get to swim around in your past, lifetime after lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. And the names and forms changes, so the people change, and you take on different roles, and you're someone's kid here, and you're their wife next time, and, you know, their priest in next life, whatever, doesn't matter. But you're always going to be in your past until you get present, because in the present, none of it exists. So that image can come, that's fine. You don't have to polarize against the image, you understand? You're here to transcend it, not to change it. So let the image come. Who cares? That's the experience of the Buddha. I'm going to come back to this thing, you know, ad nauseum. I hope you understand. I keep using this example, but it's so perfect. People don't understand what that means. I do. I've seen it so clearly. The Buddha under the Bodhi tree. It's the images. Remember the Buddha saw the demons that came, right? And was able to kind of push them away. They couldn't grab him. What were the demons? They're the images, everybody. Your memory. Those are the things that will hold you to this reality. They will lock you into this world. They don't have to. It's just an image. Stop identifying with the image. Just be present here. Feel the ground under your feet. Take a deep breath in and experience that divine essence moving in through the lungs. Look around at you, and in this moment, just in the moment, see how peaceful everything actually is. In that space, that image can't exist. It has no power of its own. It doesn't. It's a program. It's kind of like, I said to my husband a couple nights ago, it's like HAL, you know, on 2001, Space Odyssey. Remember HAL? You didn't see the movie? Great movie. So HAL is, you know, artificial intelligence, basically in a computer. And at some point it ends up taking over the ship, right? Yeah, it becomes self-aware. And then it gets paranoid and it thinks everyone's out to get him. Does it sound familiar? It should. Everyone out there is walking around paranoid thinking everyone's out to get them because you think God's out to get you. Now, from a mental place, you can say, well, that's ludicrous. Well, you can say that, but that's exactly what you're experiencing right now. You think God's out to punish you because you think God's outside of you. And you are God, people, every single one of you. You're an extension of the divine. You were never separated from the divine, but that's what consciousness thinks happened. And this whole reality sprung into being from a faulty concept. Imagine that. Kind of like, remember we always talk about the snake and the adept? You know, the adept who thought that the stick was a snake and died out of fear. That's the story of consciousness, isn't it? In the moment, consciousness perceived itself to be separate from what it is. And it's created a reality for it that can't even be true. I said to a person in an email a couple days ago, you know, how can the all that is create what is not? Which is just brilliant. Look at it from a logical place. How can the all that is create what is not? I hope that makes your head spin a little, because it should. For as real as you think that this experience is right now, it can't even honestly be happening in highest truth. It's not even happening. Okay. How are we doing time-wise? We're still doing okay? Mm-hmm. I haven't even looked at my notes yet. I have all these things to write. Okay. Let's see. You got to have fun, everybody. It's really important. It's kind of like why we're here. Stop taking everything so seriously. All right. So let's keep this in mind. Where are you making your choices from? We'll just come back to that for a second. For those of you who have worked with me, for those of you who have deeper understandings, for those of you who have, let's say, done A Course in Miracles work, for those of you who have, let's say, been involved in, say, the later Abraham Hicks teachings, Advaita work, you listen to Muji, you listen to Adyashante, Gangaji, Papaji, all the G's. If you've been big into like Vivekananda, right? Beautiful work there. If you've read the Gita, like all of this stuff, if you have experience in that, you do have deeper understandings. For those of you who have been involved in like the Blavatsky work, Alice Bailey's work, right? Theosophy, you have deeper understandings, very different from some of the others, but they are just as valid and just as important. They all come together with science. For those of you who love quantum physics, you have deeper understandings. I'm talking to all of you. It's your job right now to live from those understandings. Hear me very clearly. It is your job to live from those understandings. If you have the understanding and you make the choice in the moment to function from a different place because you feel like you're justified in doing so, you're making a mistake. That's why all this stuff is coming at you from the outside world. It feels like the hardest thing to do is to function from the understanding, because in the moment it will be the hardest thing to do, right? Let's say you see someone that you really love and care about, and they're on some kind of a path that's not in alignment with where you are. Is it easy to have to kind of detach yourself from that and say, I can't join you there? I won't join you there? No, it's not easy. Imagine if you're married to the person, is that easy? Well, of course not. But what you can't see is that right now, you still think that that person exists outside of you. Now, if you had the awareness that that person was you, would it be difficult? No, not really. Not so much. But believing that they're separate, believing that they have their own feelings and they're going to be hurt and all the drama, right? Is that hard? Yes, of course it is. Of course it is. But that's what you're being challenged to do. Because keep this in mind. This is another little I'm going to kick your butt here. Okay. I'm talking to all of you. Pay attention to who you have in your life. It's important. If you are a devout seeker, okay, if you sit there and say, I want enlightenment in this lifetime, I do not want to come back and do this again. Right? This is it for me. I'm going home. If you're that person, you need to take a good look and who's in your life and where they function from. Because your challenge is to hold your level of light around those who can't hold that level of light. It's not easy. And you will have a constant pull on you, constant pull on you. It takes an enormous amount of spiritual energy to hold your center around people who do not function from their hearts. I mean, enormous. And it's hard to explain that until you have the experience of that, right? That's why, like, when you hold satsang, if I hold it for a whole group of people, at the end of the night, I'm exhausted, right? Because I've held a certain level of energy for that length of time, and everything else has been pulling, and you're having to hold it, right? Now, it's always there when you need it, of course. But it's very, very stressful on the human body and the nervous system. So, you know, who are you in relationship with? Your relationship with, you know, you're a seeker, and you're trying really hard to, you know, you meditate and you do your processing work and you're paying attention to the things that are triggering you, and you're doing ray work and you're clearing your chakras, like the whole thing. And then you go home, and the person that you've chosen to spend your time with is functioning from a completely different level of awareness. And that person, you know, takes light of who you are. They don't honor you for who you are. Let's say that person functions from high levels of jealousy. So they're constantly trying to manipulate you so that you fall into a certain place that they want you to be in. You come into a household where people are always yelling at each other. Do you think you're going to reach enlightenment living in a household where people always yell at each other? I haven't found a lot of peace in yelling. You know, the energy behind it's never very peaceful, is it? If you want to be illumined, you've got to find peace. If you're living in an atmosphere that's not peaceful, guess what, honey? You're not going to find it. Does that mean for some of you, you need to spend more time away? Yeah, it does. Does that mean for some of you, you're going to have to make major changes in your life? Yes, it does. Is that hard to hear? You betcha. Is it hard to do? Absolutely. But it's necessary. The bottom line of it is you came here to be of service. Are you going to be ready to be of service when you're really needed? Because right now it's all easy enough. It's kind of fun and games, right? We're playing at this enlightenment thing. Oh, I can do that. I can just go process some stuff and see some stuff and feel really good, you know. But when push comes to shove, I still find myself very attracted to men who treat me like crap. So I think I'm still going to, you know, play around with that for a while. Wake up. Wake up. If your natural inclination is to find someone out there who diminishes you, who tries to control you, run the other direction. Your instincts are not serving you. Your instincts are serving the program. And this is one of the things that ego will do, and it does it very, very well, especially spiritual ego. You can take your spiritual understandings, and then you can think that you're applying them to your own life, and that somehow that exempts you from having to make the changes that you really do know you need to make. Right? You could be in a situation where you're witnessing that within a family structure, there's stuff going on that shouldn't be going on, but you're capable of non-attachment. At some point, you're going to wake up and go, oh my God, like I really do need to do something about that, right? Now, your spiritual ego might come in and go, oh, but that would be attaching. And if I'm attaching, then that's not good. No, you're wrong. It's necessary because what's happening there is not serving the heart. And it's bringing you down with it. Now, you know, the thing is that for people like me, I'm not a therapist. I'm not there to be anybody's therapist. Now, does therapy happen in what I do? Of course it does, because you've got to get from a psychological place, you've got to get the mind to a place where it can even start to receive the teachings, right? to create that inroad that we need to create, there is therapy that happens there, absolutely. But I don't, that my goal is not to be someone's therapist. My goal is to point out the things to you that are binding you to this reality. All of them. And to watch you, to see what you're going to do when I know that something's going, you're not going to hide anything from your guide. You think you're going to hide something from your guide? Huh. It's like people think they go in the bathroom and God isn't there. Not even possible. God's everywhere. You're always being witnessed. Always. Uh-huh. Do your words and your actions, like, who are you when no one's around? Is that person in alignment with the person that you say you are? Better be. If it's not, you got some work to do. It's really, really important to understand what I'm saying tonight. I know this is like really strong, but it is so important at this time. There just isn't any time left. That's why I can't be someone's therapist. If you just want therapy and you just want to come and work with me and then feel good when you leave, I don't have time for that. There isn't time for that anymore. It's not that I wouldn't want that for anybody. Of course, I am a very compassionate person. But if you say you want enlightenment, then, it's time to get real. Recognize that the things that feel natural to you most likely are part of the program. And you should be looking really, really closely at every single one of them. And they hide from you. They create a ceiling and you won't get past it. You will not get past it in your spiritual journey until you get real about what's going on. Okay? All right. So for the meditation, let me just say really quickly, like, I love you all so very much. I really, really do. I really do. I just adore all of you. And I have a very personal connection with so many of you, and you know I love you. So this is your tough love satsang for tonight. Okay. Our meditation tonight is going to be pretty specific. Okay. We're going to call on Archangel Michael. And we're going to ask tonight, and you're going to do this as we go in, you're going to ask to be allowed into the secret chamber in your heart. Okay. You can enter into that chamber, and I want you to see, you will see that your threefold flame will be there, and Michael can be present with you. I just want you to ask Michael to help you to bring anything into your awareness at this time that you need to be made aware of so that you can take the steps that you need to take to make some change, okay? And let it run its course for the length of the meditation. Whatever comes with the images, just pay attention, and it'll do its thing. And when it's over, when the meditation music ends and you get back to our, outro music, then just ask that, step out of that secret chamber and then close it up. And then kind of take your time coming back. This is really deep work and I will facilitate from here. So, I love you. We'll see you all next week.